Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and joining me today in the studio is the producer, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello. I want to welcome all of our VFN Radio listeners from all across the country and the world. We're excited that we are having this conversation together. And in our previous program, we were talking about recent attacks, terrorist attacks, Pat, that have occurred against tourists that are coming to Israel. And you see that it's been quiet for some time now in the Middle East. And now you're starting to see terrorist attacks on tourists, which you really haven't seen or heard of all that much in recent times. I mean, it has happened before.
Right.
But, you know, my heart goes out to our Christian brothers and sisters from South Korea. It was reported by CBN that they were saving for years to go to the Holy Land and to go to Israel. And some of them have lost their lives. But this attack, as CBN is reporting, is about engaging Israel to fight in Egypt. Against Egypt. And you notice that, I mean, it's always about engaging and trying to draw them into something. But we shared a segment about Israel living in the crosshairs of your enemies. And we're going to make sure that's related for you on the torch and onto with this segment here today. But Israel lives in a continual state of being prepared and ready for war. They have the Iron Dome. They have 170,000 rockets aimed at them, and they're always in a ready stage. And we want to make sure that we pray for them because they heavily rely on tourism. I mean, people come from all over the world to go to Israel.
Right.
And if there is attacks now, more attacks on the tourists that come, it can shut down their whole economy.
Mm-hmm.
And part of this attack that you're seeing is not just being waged, you know, with rockets, but it's also a financial attack. It's a cyber attack. These are battles that are being waged on many fronts. And the Blaze is reporting about this new thing that just happened. I mean, you know, some things don't amaze you, but they're just crazy. But basically, there's an Israeli research group called the Palestinian Media Watch, and they're basically reporting that terrorists planned an attack in order to be in prison and receive a salary from the Palestinian Authority. Listen to this. They're reporting, okay, that a terrorist testimony to a police following his arrest confirms all of this, in what they've been doing for quite a while. And this is what the article reads. It says, imprisoned Palestinian terrorist Husni Najjar explained to Israeli police that he had planned a second terror attack in order to be captured and imprisoned by Israel a second time so that he would receive the salaries the Palestinian Authority pays to prisoners while in jail and following their release. The Palestinian Authority is paying them to attack Israel, and if you get locked up, we're going to make sure that you get a check. In his signed statement, which they provide, given to the police following his second arrest, a copy of which is in the possession of the Palestinian Media Watch, he explains that the money he received from the PA, Palestinian Authority, as a salary during his first prison term amounted to only 45,000 shekels. However, the salary he would receive following his second prison term and subsequent release would leave him with 135 shekels. And thus, he says, I would cover my debts, the terrorists explained, for the motive for planning the attack. So it appears that the more attacks they do, or the more arrests that they get arrested and actually spend time in an Israeli prison, they get more money.
Wow.
And so this is being financed, they're being paid, and the Blaze continues to report. Listen to this. And they quote regarding the Palestinian Media Watch, that they reported last week, this group, to the British Parliament, that the Palestinian Authority distributed more than $100 million to convicted terrorists in 2013, and that they're setting aside an additional $46 million for funds set aside for further Palestinians that are going to be released from Israeli prison. So not only do you get paid, you know, for getting arrested for planning these attacks, mm-hmm. but when you get out, they continue to finance them and pay them. And you want, because you're wondering, my goodness, all these attacks, and you keep going back, and you mm-hmm. keep waging stuff. Well, they're getting paid. They're financing them to do this. I mean, we have to remain vigilant, praying for the safety of our Israeli brothers and sisters and for the nation of Israel. And this is something that's very close and dear to our heart because it's close to the heart of the Father. Mm-hmm. Israel is the apple of God's eye. And as you know, the way Israel goes, so goes the church. Mm-hmm. And so it's in our interests. But even if it wasn't in our interests, it's the heartbeat of God.
Right.
It's the heartbeat of God. Israel is the apple of God's eye. So we must pray. We must remain vigilant. We must be alert and continue to join those and organizations like CUFI, Christians United for Israel, and VFN Radio. And VFN Radio and VFN TV, as we stand together sharing, praying, and talking about ways how we can get our government officials to support policies that are going to be beneficial for Israel, not policies that are going to tear, you know, the foundation of Israel and turn their youth against them. Listen, we are living in serious times, but the wonderful thing is that God reveals his secrets to his friends. God is telling us, he's letting us know in so many different ways how we can stand with him for what he wants to do in this season that we're living in. And let me tell you something, Israel remains. America may or may not, listen, it's questionable.
Right.
It's questionable. But what will remain is Israel. And I'm going to tell you, you want to be on God's side. Continue to lift up Israel. Continue to lift up Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, as they're going to be facing in a very short time some very serious, serious times. And if we can stand now, let me tell you, there's a chance. There's a chance that things can turn, but we can't fall asleep. Oftentimes, right before the beginning of something that's going to go down, Pat, mm-hmm. the enemy tries to lull a lot of people asleep and get them distracted, shiny object here, shiny object there. Stay alert, mm-hmm. stay ready, and stay prayerful. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
My children know middle schoolers who are dating. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and it's true. Kids in 7th and 8th grade often have boyfriends or girlfriends. Well, here's Dana Gresh explaining why that's so common and what to do about it.
I meet moms all the time whose 8th grade daughters are in their first relationship. You know, you don't go together anymore or date, you talk. Her daughter comes home and says, I'm talking to a boy, and she says, oh, that's nice, honey. And then her friend says, do you know that means they're dating? And then mom freaks out and says, why could my daughter be dating? She's not old enough to date. And I say, when did you discuss with her what your family standards were about dating? She said, we haven't talked about it yet. She's not old enough. Well, obviously she is.
These days, you've got to start talking about dating and relationships with your children early, often earlier than you want. You can hear more trusted advice from Dana Gresh on today's program at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
And we want to encourage you today. Listen,
right.
The Lord is a faithful Father. He is hope and love himself. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's full of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And although he is sharing with us and letting us know that, listen, judgment is upon us, if we repent, if we cry out to him, if we seek him and humble our ways and acknowledge, Lord, we have sinned before you, things can turn.
Mm-hmm.
Things can turn. Things don't have to happen. And that is our desire, and that is our hope.
Right, and that's why it's so important to partner with us.
Yeah.
So we can continue to be that trumpet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Partner, partner, partner. We have all different ways how you can do that just by going to VFNTV.com. We have worked very hard to try to put things together in a way that you can easily find it. There's ways for you to partner as a sponsor. There's ways for you to partner as an underwriter, just go to VFNTV.com and you'll see the torch on the right hand in the center of the page, and you'll be able to follow, has some hands around the torch. Mm-hmm. That's your hands. That's our hands. That's all of us holding the torch together so that we can continue to keep the light in this dark world, and so that others can come and be informed and grow in the things of God. Listen, we can do this when we have our eyes focused on Jesus and on Him alone, and when we have our ears attentive to His very word.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat Hamilton. We're just before the break talking about Israel and encouraging you, all of our VFN Radio listeners, to stand with those that stand with Israel. And we want to encourage you to stand with Christians United for Israel and also to stand with VFN Radio. We stand for Israel. It's a very important part of who we are and why we're here today. We stand for God and country in that order and Israel. Let's stand together for the apple of God's eye. Well, you know, we've been talking about what's been happening in Utah, and we're finally, Pat, we're going to talk, we're going to get to it.
Finally.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to talk about it. But right now, what's happening in Utah is that fathers are suing Utah, the state of Utah, over a law, Pat, that's allowing mothers to secretly give up babies for adoption. Secretly. I mean, there's nothing against, I mean, if you can't care for your child and it's something that, you know, you need God's help and wisdom. I mean, these are really decisions that you really have to pray about. But if it comes between you aborting a child and giving the child up for adoption, you know, by all means, you know, seek the Lord, but offer the baby up so that someone can love on that child and raise that child up. That's a kind of different scenario. But we're talking about women that are secretly not telling the father and giving up the baby for adoption. And Fox News is reporting that a dozen men right now are suing the state of Utah in a federal court because of this law that allows mothers to put their babies up for adoption without the biological father's consent or sometimes even knowledge. The civil rights lawsuit claims the Utah Adoption Act has resulted in what amounts to legalized fraud and kidnapping. And there's an attorney by the name of Wes Hutchins, and he's basically is the attorney for the men. And he says that he is very pro-adoption, having served as the president of the Utah Adoption Council and is currently serving as the president of the Utah Council of Ethical Adoption Practices. But he continues to say that adoptions need to be done ethically, legally, and constitutionally, and above all else, they need to be done with the consent and the knowledge and the awareness of both biological parents. And this is you know, something that's really heartbreaking as you hear about this man. His name is Nicholas, and this is what he says, because they interviewed him. He says, "Well, I thought I was going to have a son," Nicholas Thurnwald recalled. Mm-hmm. He said he was thrilled by the idea of being a father while he and his living girlfriend at the time in 2004 waited for their child to be born. "And we were together all the way up until the last couple of days before the birth. Then Thurnwald called his girlfriend to see if she maybe wanted to go to the movies, and a coworker answered the phone at the department store that she was working at and basically let him know that she was in the hospital having our baby. Thurnwald immediately called the hospital. They patched me through to her." This is the way the article reads. Mm-hmm. "And I asked her if she was giving up our son for adoption, and she said, kinda. I said, there is no kinda. What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" And she says, "Look, I gotta go." I dropped to my knees, dropped my phone that I was holding, and just started crying. A grown man on a construction site crying his eyes out.
Wow.
When you hear that,
that's horrific.
I mean, it's devastating. It's devastating to see what happened, what occurred. He says after 10 years and more than $30,000 in legal fees, Thernwald lost his bid to gain custody. And so this article, and we'll make sure that this is related for you on this segment so that you can, you know, read more of what's happening and what's going on. But this is something that is so important. And the article continues to say that mothers now are moving. They're moving from all parts of the country to Utah because of this law to be able to give up their child without the father knowing anything about it. And, you know, this is not good.
No.
How can fathers' rights be ignored and denied? You know, the child has two parents, and both parents have the right to speak into the child's life. You know, what's the best parent? Both parents. And if one of them doesn't want them, you know, if she doesn't want the child, then at least give it to the father that does. Yeah,
exactly.
Give it to the father that does. But why would you withhold that? And it makes you just think about, man, what is happening in today's society? You know, when it comes to family and children, you have blended families. These are all, you know, challenging things to deal with. You know, and raising a family is not for the weak. It's especially, you know, challenging, and it seems like everything in the world is trying to come up, you know, against a family. And it's something that, let me tell you, we have spent over, you know, 10 years in this community talking about the Malachi mandate, and then how God was going to turn, God is turning the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons' hearts to the fathers. And we saw a beautiful year after year, beautiful encounters where fathers and sons were just turning their hearts to each other and melting. And how important it is to have, you know, a male in your life, but not just a male, but to have a father. I mean,
right.
I'm coming from an experience as a counselor for the Department of Juvenile Justice. I'm coming from experience as a worker in a foster home, which probably is one of the best things I've ever done in my life. I mean, I just saw I had compassion. I just lived in a continual state of brokenness, Pat, when I saw these beautiful children. And I was in college at the time. I'd walk in and they'd just, you know, grab my leg and hug me. And and at 2 o'clock, when I would walk into the home, the foster home, for my shift, and I stayed from like 2 to 12, and then the next, you know, counselor would come in afterwards. But part of my responsibility was to help put the boys to bed, you know, at the end of the night. And when I would come in at 2, some of the boys would come up and say to me, "Are you going to pray for us tonight? Are you going to pray for us tonight?"
Wow.
Because that was my pattern. After we got them to, you know, brush their teeth and, you know, get to bed and all that, I would pray with them every night. And I thank the Lord so much for that, just that moment in time that I had to do that. I'm telling you, it was one of the most awesome things that I had a chance to do. But I'm coming from this type of experience. I'm coming from several years of being a youth pastor, from helping Bible clubs and different, schools in the city in which I lived. And, of course, as being a father myself, you know, I have two daughters, and it's so important for men and fathers to be in their children's lives. And then, of course, you know, our experience with the father-son mandate and Next Step Outback and all the different things that we've done to help families. Listen, it's important, and we must not remain silent. We've got to look at across the spectrum and say, you know, there's two parents. Fathers, you know, are not to be overlooked. And we talked about this in a previous program, how it seems like this generation of fathers understand, are getting an understanding of how important it is to be there, you know, in their child's life, and what they, you know, can contribute and what they add. And I remember that, you know, because oftentimes parents want to do all the great things that they can for their child. You know, you always hear, "Oh, I love my children," and, you know, "There's nothing like a mother's love," or, you know, "There's nothing like a father's love." Everyone loves their, you know, you want to love your children. But I remember that I heard this once as a young man before I ever had any children, even before I was married. I believe it was even at a men's gathering or a Promise Keepers conference. But I remember when the speaker said, You know, he's talking to all these men, stadium of men. He says, you want to know what's the greatest thing that you can do for your child, the greatest thing you can do for your kids, you know, and I'm like, I'm listening, you know.
All pins and needles.
All pins and needles. And he looked into this sea of men. These are thousands of men in a stadium. And he looked, and you can hear a pin drop. And the guy just, you know, points his finger to the crowd. He says, you be a man of God. He said, you be a man of God is the most powerful thing that you can do for your child and for your family. Mm-hmm. I mean, that thing just resonated, and you hear all the men, you know, this roar come out and clapping. And it's true. It's true. You be a man of God. You be a woman of God. You say, hey, listen, I want to live for God. I want to do my very best to live by God's word, to hear what he's saying, to abide with him, because I want to raise. Malachi tells us that the reason we have marriages produce godly offspring. The reason why we have children, you know, they're not decoration or for us, but because God wants godly offspring. And it's our responsibility to seek him out, because they're entrustments. I mean, they're here with us for just a small short amount of time. You know, it's amazing when they're small, you're like, I want you to stay here forever. And then when they get older, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, you're soon, right? But, you know, it's awesome. It's awesome being a dad. I know we've shared some amazing experiences. Mm-hmm. And we need both parents in the lives of children. We need both parents. But we need parents that really want to seek the heart of God and understand that when we have children, they are our entrustments, and we're going to be held accountable for the things that we say, for the things that we do, and what we show them, good or bad. So we can avoid tomorrow's regrets by saying, hey, you know, let's do the right thing today. You know,
that's awesome.
Isn't it important?
Nothing more.
Now, I know that God has been speaking to you, Pat, about some things that have been laying on your heart. Talk to us about what the Lord's been sharing with you, and, you know.
Right. I've just been meditating the last couple of days about, you know, the love of God, how much he really, really does love us. And you just, Steve shared a message this Sunday, and it just really resonates with me about.
Steve Kalaszewski.
Yeah, when he talked about that 18-inch journey from your head to your heart.
Yes, so powerful, that the VFN Dream Center.
Yeah. And he talked about, I guess the man was like, took the guy 40 years to figure it out.
Wow. He was on a journey.
Yeah. Really getting it. And what really jumped out with me was in Romans 8. And it reads, for what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sin nature, but according to the Spirit. But the part that really got to me was, you know, God loved us so much that he wanted that relationship so bad that he was willing to sacrifice his son for me. And you think about Jesus and what he did when he was here on the earth. You think about, you know, the miracles that he did, you know, how he, you know, raised people from the dead. He healed people. You know, he taught them. He, you know, he loved on them. He did all these things. But the greatest thing of all is when he laid down his life for me.
Wow.
You know, I mean, all those other things are awesome. They're great.
Right.
But if he had not done this one thing, all that would have been for naught, really.
Wow. Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, you know, I got to get this.
Yeah.
You know, help me understand that love. You know what I mean? Help me understand how much you do love me.
We were talking about yesterday on our previous program about the value, extreme value of seeking understanding. You know, you can seek a lot of things, but we want to understand. And that's one of the things we were talking about, like, help us, reveal to us your amazing love.
Right.
Because we want to get this.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to get it, you know, because until you really understand how much you're loved, really determines how much your ability to love others.
Right.
If you don't feel loved, if you don't think you're loved,
yeah,
you know, you're going to come off really just rough.
Right.
And I can relate to that a little bit. Not as much as I used to be, but you know,
The Lord has done a work.
He has done a work. When God got hold of me, you know, I was kind of, you know, abrasive some. But, you know, I'm not quite as rough as I used to be.
No, he's
a little smoother, not as smooth as you, but, you know, I'm still working. I still have room to grow.
Well, I see Chris gives winking, giving us an amen.
I'm sure he is. I'm sure.
Second Street.
Yeah, right. And, I love you too. And you know, and that's that journey, that 18-inch journey. You know, if we're still struggling with that, understanding God's love is we have not truly got it into our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we haven't settled it in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, you know, what I've been praying the last couple of days, I was like, God, help me settle this in my heart.
Yeah.
That you really do love me.
Yeah.
Which means it doesn't matter what anybody else says about me. It doesn't matter what, you know, what's going on around me. When I know God loves me, nothing else matters.
Nothing else matters. You know, and I think we would probably spend an eternity, you know, getting this unfolding and this revelation of the love of God. But I'll tell you what, you know, I'm happy to spend eternity with him. I know you are too.
Oh, yeah.
As this revelation continues
to
unfold. I have
all eternity to figure it out.
But it's a powerful thing to seek, and it's a powerful thing to understand. Yeah, and I'm reminded about what God asked the Bob Jones, you know, all this prophetic miracles and all these signs and wonders. He asked them, did you learn to love? We got to learn to love.
We got to. We have no choice.
Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're in this for the long haul or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we're excited about it. There are so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, we have. He's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error, and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you, and it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong, because that's not true, and that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if, in fact, that you want to say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, the Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and joining me today is the producer of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Man, it's exciting. Listen, VFN Radio, you miss a day, you miss a lot, but here's the good news. The good news is that we have many different ways for you to connect with us. If you haven't downloaded our app, go to Google, VFNTV.com, and you will see an opportunity where you can download the app today. VFN Radio on the go. You never have to miss anything because it's all there on your mobile device, whether you have a tablet or any type of phone. We have an app for that. And you can take VFN Radio with you. And this is one of my really desired ways to listen to VFN Radio, because anywhere I'm at, Pat, listen, I've got it and I'm listening. Mm-hmm. I'm so encouraged. In fact, I was listening to VFN Radio on the way into the studio this morning. And I said, man, that's some good stuff on there. But we're going to be talking today. We're going to be talking today about the greatest promise given to you by God. The greatest promise given to you by God, as well as the citizenship game. I know you've been enjoying our humorous attempts of trying to get educated here, but we have the citizenship game for you again. But I want to share with you real quick the greatest promise given to you by God. You know, Pat, all creation speaks, and the Word of God says that it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremiah 20:13 says this, and I love this scripture, but it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not careful, you can read through scriptures so fast that you sometimes you got to go back and hit the rewind and pause. You know, I used to put my finger on each word I used to read so fast. I do talk fast, and I apologize. Sometimes I need to slow down. But we have so much to say in such a small, limited amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
But the scripture says, you will seek me and find me. When you take the time to do the seeking and the searching and the looking, God's saying, listen, you're not going to seek in vain. If you're really seeking, you'll find me. But when you seek me with all of your heart, it's not just a matter of searching. But when we are fully engaged, God's saying, this is a promise. When we're fully engaged in seeking God out, and remember, you know, oftentimes he puts the seek in us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
When we're seeking him out with our whole heart, we will absolutely find him. And it's the greatest promise he can ever give us, because when we find God, we find everything.
That's right.
We find everything. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, and he's talking about in this chapter in Deuteronomy 4, that it, listen, you know, obey God, but if you ever happen to drift away and get bound up with idols, is what he says. But if from there, if from that place of bondage and captivity and being shut down, there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. It is so important today, not just to flippantly think that we're going to come in an encounter with the living God. No, when we cry out to him, when we search for him with everything that's in our being and say, God, I want to know you, you'll be found by him. And I'm going to tell you, he'll reveal more and more to you. I'll never forget, on a college campus, I would walk, it seemed like miles, but in between classes, and I'd say, God, I know that you're real. Show me, reveal yourself to me. Reveal. I must have prayed that, and I can't tell you how many times.
Mm.
And let me tell you, I always say this, be careful of what you ask God, because he might just do it. And he revealed himself to me, and my life has never, ever been the same. I want to encourage you that no matter whatever place you find yourself, if you really come to the end of yourself and you want to encounter God, you can find him, but you're going to have to search for him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level. Linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
That was hilarious.
That's the ultrasound on the bottom. But do you remember the other ultrasound that you hit when you happened to be in the mining truck? Do you remember that? Pat, did you ever hear that story?
The brand new truck? Yeah. When you got your brand new truck?
Yeah, my brand new truck. I didn't
God
even drive
gave you
my
that
brand
truck.
New truck.
Yeah. God gave you that truck.
Did he clobber something with your truck?
Well actually, no, what it was.
Big, huge orange cones.
Let me tell you what happened. What happened was,
okay,
you know, John had this car. And the
is that what that was?
Yeah.
Wait, see, we start talking about a truck. So
we got to appreciate the truck, how the truck came about.
The story's not about the truck, but you hitting this orange wall. That
well, I'm trying to move from the clack, clack to the plump. You know? So anyway, so John gets this truck. God gives him this truck. Mm-hmm. It was amazing, you know? And so he wants to show me the truck. And so he brings it to me to show it to me. And of course, when I got in the truck, well, actually I had to drive it because if I got in the passenger side of the truck, I couldn't fit because my knees would be under my chin because he has to pull the seat so far up by the steering wheel to drive. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to have to drive this thing, you know, because I cannot, my knees cannot be in my chin right here. You know, I'm not saying anything. I meant.
You believe this, Pat? You believe this?
Yeah.
You know, come on now. So he sat in the passenger seat. I slid the telephone book off the seat and put it down. And I slid the seat back. But even the seat sliding back, it still was a smaller truck. Yeah, so, you know, I got in there. I'm just so bulked up from working out. You know, it was kind of tough to get up in there.
Yeah, right.
Lifting hot wings. And I get in there and I'm riding down a particular road and I'm like, man, this is a nice truck, you know? And John's just glowing because God just blessed him and all that. And they had these construction cones down the center of the road.
The big barrels or the like the little ones?
Yeah, you know, these are pretty huge. The truck, you know.
No, danger, danger. There's a cone here, you know?
It was a little people's truck. So I was like some giant in this thing. No, so these cones look really like mountains when we're passing them.
All right.
And they seem really big, but I don't know what had happened. It's like an angel just pushed us over in these cones. Yeah. And it's like, bloop, 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 bloop. Which is like, I don't know, maybe about three or four of these cones. I look back at John's forehead was all wrinkled up. And he's thinking,
trashed it.
You know, I always personally felt, you know, if you get something so nice, you know, the first thing you do is you need to scratch it and get it over with. Just mess it up. You know, because it's like, you know, you're going to be worried about it.
Quickly.
Well, you surely helped me with that. You took care of that. You took care of the scratches. Yeah. So it was
a white truck, but it had like a fiery orange pattern on the side of it. No. And I don't know how that happened. I have no idea that happened, but it was very, very interesting.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're going to be doing the citizenship test. The one thing we did, the reason why we're doing the citizenship test is because We don't know it. We don't know. I mean, it's amazing how citizens, brand new citizens, know more about America than people who've been a citizen that were born in this country, than those who actually came here and said, I want to be an American. They take a test, a 100-question test, and we've been taking that test. We've moving right along. We're like at question 81. We're doing five at a time. But it's. I encourage you to listen today, but also listen to all of them so we can actually know what we expect other people to know in this country.
That's right.
You know, and some of the things we're finding out, and we want to get back to the original tent of our founding fathers, and that the Constitution that people talk about changing all the time, that's the supreme law of the land. That is what holds us. That is the structure that keeps us all together. When somebody starts talking about changing the Constitution, they're talking about changing everything that we're made up of, how we function. And somebody says, well, it's a literal interpretation is one way, but somebody else says is an elastic living interpretation where, you know, it's just alive. And it's like, no, it can't be alive. It's just written plain as day. It was brilliant. I mean, obviously, through the unction of God, these guys sat down and wrote out this Constitution that's baffling people that would love to destroy this nation. But when you get into office, and what we talked about is that from the president on down to the citizen who just became a new citizen, they all raise their hand and they swear an oath to defend the Constitution, what we're made, our supreme law, to defend it from enemies foreign and domestic. That means people outside the United States who are trying to hurt it and people inside the United States trying to hurt it. Now, listen, they're not trying to like burn a piece of paper where the Constitution's on. They're trying to hurt what it stands for.
Right.
Come against the balance of powers, you know, the executive branch and the congressional branch and the judicial branch. And when, you know, you hear people say, well, you know, I won the election, we have to understand, well, so did the president won an election. That's executive branch. The citizens put the president in. But the Congress won an election, too. The House of Representatives, they were voted by the same people. So they won, too. And it's a balance of powers. Mm-hmm. The balance of powers there. So you have to respect both of those. We're seeing things right now where Congress is wanting to stop the appointment of the Secretary of Defense. Well, that's not a negative thing because you sent them there. They're representing your values and what, you know, and there's supposed to be tension between those two. That's the whole purpose of them. And it's equal power. So the president has equal power to the Congress and the Congress has equal power to the presidency, which is so important. Of course, you have the judiciary branch, but their job's not to make law. Their job's to interpret law to make sure that it's constitutional. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, as we learned as well, that these executive orders, if they're not challenged by the Congress, they automatically become law in 90 days. Mm-hmm. And they would be challenged by saying this is not constitutional. So hopefully they're going to rise up with some of these unconstitutional executive orders so they would go before the other balance of power, the judiciary branch, who has equal power to Congress and equal power to the president, and they would look it over and say, does this line up with the Constitution? Is it constitutional? And if it is, then they go ahead and say, you know, let it be, let it stand. You know, let the decision stand is what they say. Or they would say, they'd pull it down and say it's unconstitutional. You can't do it. And so hopefully that, the Congress will challenge every executive order that's not constitutional. And,
that's right.
And it needs to be. And that's not a negative thing. It needs to go and be tested before the judiciary branch to find out does it fit the Constitution, not the living, breathing, changing, transforming Constitution, but the original Constitution that has lasted for over 230-some-odd years right there. So here is today. We are here for the citizenship test. Of course, today's test will be standing in for Pat Hamilton will be Chris. And the one who actually gives him the answers anyway. And, of course, John. Of course, this is how it works. When you are asked a question, you'll be given a chance to be able to think about it. Not Google it, not Bing it, but think about it. And as you're thinking for your final answer, you're going to hear... And when the music stops or you have the answer, it has to be your final answer. And, of course, when you give your correct answer, which I'm sure all your answers are going to be correct, you're going to hear, oh!
And if you get them wrong, like we saw Pat do a couple times, and that'll let everybody know that you were wrong. And of course, I'd be taking it, but, you know, I'm giving it. So, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. So we are having five questions today. The first question is the 81st question of the 100 questions. But today is our first of five. It's question 81 on the U.S. citizenship test. And it's for you, John.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Here's the question. Who did the United States fight in World War II? Who did the United States fight in World War II? John, this is so that you will not be self-deported from the New England states. This is so that all of America can learn the importance of this question, and they themselves can actually understand who we fought in World War II. So here it is for the U.S. citizenship test. John.
Okay.
Who
okay.
did? Let me ask the question first. Was that you?
he's brutal, isn't he?
That was Chris. Anyway, here we go. Who did the United States fight in World War II?
Well, as I understand it, as I reflect here on some of my studies. There were several countries that they were fighting against. I'm just going to select one. I'm going to give it a try here, and I want to say Germany.
Yes.
I don't want to show off today. I don't want to be that close.
All right, there you go. That's we're going to go via kind of like a little bit of both. You know what I'm saying? Okay, here we go.
Hey.
Impressive.
There is three countries that we fought. Remember in World War II, the who kicked this puppy off was in Pearl Harbor.
Oh, that's right, Japan.
Yeah. Who did the United States fight in World War II? It was Japan, Germany, and Italy.
Italy.
Yeah. Mussolini, right?
Mussolini.
Mm-hmm. Dictator. Okay, the next question is going to be for Chris. Chris, so you do not have to self-deport from the Beach Haven area.
Well, I'm standing in for Pat, so if I
he has to go. All right, that's pretty cool, right?
You like that, right?
Yeah. Wow. Sorry, we got your bags packed. You know, should have been here. You know, just enjoy Kyrgyzstan. Here's the question. Question from the U.S. citizenship test for today for you, Chris. Question two. Before he was president, Eisenhower was a general. What war was he in? Here's the question again. Before he was president, Eisenhower was a general. What war was he in? Chris, question two for today is to you from the U.S. citizenship test. Here's the question. The question is, before he was president, Eisenhower was a general. What war was he in?
That's a good one. Yeah, can we play that again? I'm going to have to say World War One.
Well, seeing that he was our president in recent history, and the question was, before he was president, Eisenhower was a general. What war was he in? And of course, that's World War II. Yes, World War II. Oh my goodness.
Sorry, yes. Pat.
Yeah, right.
I think you may have to go with him.
Yeah, right. Okay, question number next, John, for the U.S. citizenship test. During the Cold War, not the Warm War, but the Cold War, what was the main concerns of the United States? During the Cold War, what was the main concerns of the United States? John, so you're not, you don't have to self-deport to Afghanistan. Here's the question on the U.S. citizenship test. I see that your bags are packed. You got your robes.
The robes.
You wear a robe down there. You can't wear pants unless. Anyway, here's the question. Question on the U.S. citizenship test. During the Cold War, not the Warm War, because I added that. During the Cold War. What was the main concern of the United States of America?
Let's see here. Oh, I was just a young tad during that young lad during that time.
No, it was Tad. I'm gonna say.
Let's say. Was it the spreading of nuclear weapons?
No. Here's the question. Question is during the Cold War. Well, you know, I didn't write the test. You know, we're all finding out while we're doing this. We're not doing this so that we spread our ignorance everywhere. We're doing this so we can see we don't know these things and we need to remember, we need to learn these things. Or we may have known them and forgot them. And we want to remember them now because we need to boot as a nation. We need to go back to the original tent. And so the question was, question 83 on the citizenship test, third one for today. During the Cold War, what was the main concern of the United States? And the answer is communism. Isn't that amazing? Because today, so many Americans are embracing Marxism and communism and all these different things. It's like, that's the very reason why we had the Cold War. We didn't want that form of economy. Big government. That's what communism is. Communism is big government. Government's in control. And now we have people that are saying that we're part of the Communist Party, and it's like, that's what the whole Cold War was about.
Wow.
And it's part of the U.S. citizenship test. Amazing, isn't it? Chris, the next question, the second to the last question for today. What movement tried to end racial discrimination? What movement tried to end racial discrimination? Chris, so that Pat does not have to be self-deported to Kyrgyzstan from the U.S. citizenship test today, what movement tried to end racial discrimination?
Pass. It was in the 60s. I've drawn the blank. That's what Alana does when they're helping out with school.
I can't help you.
It's the civil rights movement. It's the civil rights movement. Remember?
I knew that.
Yes. So the civil rights. So what movement tried to end racial discrimination? It was the civil rights movement. You know, of course, led by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and many, many folks who stood up and marched on behalf of the civil rights in America. Last and final question from the U.S. citizenship test, so that you do not have to go to Afghanistan, John, is what did Martin Luther King Jr. do? What did Martin Luther King Jr. do? All right, John, here it is, the last question for today. From the U.S. citizenship test, what did Martin Luther King Jr. do?
He fought for civil rights.
Yes. I love that's part of the citizenship test, don't you? I was like, oh my goodness, it's so beautiful, isn't it? It's like, you got to understand us to become an American. And Americans, we need to go back and revisit who we are and our original intent. It's so, so very important. That was five questions from the U.S. citizenship test to make sure that Pat does not get deported to Kyrgyzstan. We'll be right back after this break.
For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Cordova Lanes, the weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall. Visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, go visit Tony Baker. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.